I can't do that shit.
What a noise.
I wish I could scream.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 257 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And if you've ever felt like an underachiever, or you have worms in your brain, or gone la 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 after therapy, the moral of the story, life's a bit batshit, and this podcast is probably the one for you.
These fucking intros are getting longer every week. It's gone from like 102 quick, haha, I've mentioned one of this week's guest songs or whatever. And now you're doing fucking monologues using a song. Stop it.
At one point, the whole episode was just going to be a conversation of me between myself.
I don't want that. Puns. Yeah, no. Ladies and gentlemen and gender progressives, this week's guest is the absolutely wonderful Noah Fince.
Yes. If you're currently growing up on the internet, Noah Fince has become a voice for those trying to find themselves in this fucked up world. Through his pop punk music, emo YouTube videos, and just creating a safe space, especially for those in the trans and LGBTQ plus communities. He writes some super catchy songs, his extremely sarcastic sense of humor makes us laugh, and just giving his own thoughts on the music industry, taking it on in his own way. Look, this episode is going to get extremely chaotic, extremely unhinged, very, very stupidly silly in places, but is a very important conversation, covers so much different aspects of his life and the industry, and it's really insightful to check out. But so much celebration going on as well. Noah Fince is currently on a UK tour. We got to record with him backstage at the Cardiff Date just this week. And he has a new single out titled Scumbag that is available right now.
Another fucking catchy banger. What an absolute lovely, lovely chap. We had a great time. It's always good. We met Slam Dunk a couple of years ago, I think it was. But I'd known about them for a while through Jason Perry. He told me that he was going to be writing and recording with him. And yes, I've been a fan ever since. And yeah, like you said, some of the things we talk about in this are wild, crazy, but also there's, as Morgan said, very important issues revolving the trans debate and everything that's been fucking going on with the absolutely terrible government that we currently have in power and governments around the world.
Yay, fucking shitheads.
Absolute shitheads.
But, you know, as you can expect from us, we're sarcastic and fucking silly. Noah's sarcastic and fucking silly. So this is the ultimate combination of chaos. And throughout, look, we're going to touch on everything from the fact that he's been on YouTube since the age of 15, almost a decade doing that and documenting every change in his life, to some fanfic and love for Frank Iero, writing with McFly. I have to know about that. Being a voice for this generation, and so many random things, but constantly comes up is homeless druggies. And that's that. If that's not a pull for you to listen to the rest of the episode, I don't know what is.
Yeah, homeless druggies. They weren't named that by any of us involved in this interview, by the way. I want to give a shout out to Mark Walker, who manages Noah. He's a fucking good egg who I have known for years and years and years before the Blackout ever kind of took off and did anything. And now he's managing some fucking fantastic acts as well. He's got Rory, who I'd like to have on as well at some point. So that would be fucking good. We should just get straight into it, really. Get into Noah Finch's favourite podcast.
Ooh, he says that. Follow us at Sapnin Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. And give us some love at patreon.com/Sapnin if you want to keep this thing going and be involved with our loving, loveling community of wonderful people that for some reason get their tops off at gigs that they shouldn't get their tops off for. But anyway, this is Noah Finch on episode 257 of Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
This was fucking carnage.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Sapnin!
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 Yes!
Joining us at this time is the wonderful Noah Finch. How are you?
I am so good, yeah. I'm not tired. I had a really good nap.
No. Really? Or
is no. This sarcasm.
Yeah.
Sarcasm.
Yeah,
nice.
No, I'm good. Played London last night. So much fun. I always want to end on London.
Wait, that's yeah,
but it's halfway through the tour. But no, had fun. Loads of friends and family. But I'm excited for Cardiff.
But the videos I've seen from last night look fucking unbelievable.
It's insane. Yeah,
literally
freaks me out.
Yeah, well, but it looks like last night you got what you always wanted. Like
yes.
It seems like that was the first time. You became the rock star that you were always going to become.
Well, this is what people... Look, I'm so bad at taking compliments. People would be like, well, you look like a rock star up there. And I'm like, thank you. Yeah, it felt good. But it's insane, like the ego that you get on stage where I'm just like, well, it's not even ego because like my fans are just so sweet. I'm like, do you guys want to start a mosh pit? They're like, yeah, no, we'll do that. We'll do that. But yeah, no.
It'd be much worse if he said no.
Like, oh, well, that's, yeah.
You guys want to do a circle pit?
Nah.
Okay, guys.
I would just walk off stage. I'm like, I can't deal with that.
My new thing is, with my new band Raiders, because we're playing loads of gigs to people who've never heard of us.
Yeah.
There's a bit in one of a song where it breaks down before it's like going to come in heavy. And I make everybody stand as still as possible.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want head banging. I don't want you to, like... Because you can't... think when it comes back in, it's so heavy that you can't help but bang. Like,
oh, okay,
you know,
yeah,
at least nod. But I just want fucking... Silence.
Silence.
Silence. And no movement. And you just see the amount of people who's who then are interested. Like, there's loads of people at the gig who are just like, oh, what the fuck is this? I'm waiting for the headliner.
Yeah.
And then after that moment, they're like, oh, they're all right.
Yeah, they're all right.
He didn't make me move. It was all right.
Because I guess they're fighting the urge to move at that point. They're like, oh, wait, no, I don't want to do it. I want to do it not now.
If you take it away from them enough, they want it. So that's probably what it is.
It's like reverse psychology.
Yeah.
You don't want to move.
You don't want to
move. You're having a terrible time.
You don't want to go to the merch store and buy everything.
Do not spend this week's wage on our merch, whatever you do.
For real.
Look into the eyes, not around the eyes. Look into the eyes.
You're under. We used to do this thing on the US tours where it would be like, I've got some called Worms. So it's like, I've signed a bunch of vinyls. They're on the merch table. And if you want the signed vinyls, you go to my merch guy, Elliot, and you say, hey, Elliot, I've got Worms. And these kids would go up and they'd be so shy and they'd be like, hi, Elliot, can I have a vinyl? And he'd be like, I don't know, can you?
Oh, all right.
Torture.
Yeah, I know, literally that.
Yeah, imagine someone comes up and goes, I've got Worms. And then they go, also, no one mentioned someone about a vinyl. So I have to say something for a vinyl. I can't remember what it was. Like,
on another note.
Jesus! Get out of here, cheap. I'm away from
you. Jeez. Yeah. But no, like, halfway through this UK tour now, and just for the people at home, we're recording this in your dressing room.
Yes.
At the Cardiff date, and we got warned that the homeless druggies might come in
at any point. So if you listen to this and you hear a commotion in a little bit, it means we've been attacked by homeless druggies.
Well, that's the thing. He came in, he was like, by the way, door doesn't work, Wi-Fi doesn't work, homeless druggies may steal your things, but don't worry, they did it to themselves.
And they're not homeless.
And they're not actually homeless.
So they're 50% of what you said.
Yeah.
Marry me druggies.
I'm just going to keep my things around me. Yeah.
My question was going to be, do you get many warnings for random things at different dressing rooms, or is this a first?
No. Not random warnings. I mean, there's some dressing rooms. No. Yeah. This is a first. Congratulations. There was one where it's just like, we got to the venue, we're like, by the way, the green room isn't a green room. It's a hallway, so don't stay in it.
Oh.
So just don't do it. And I had to get on the stage sideways. I couldn't face forward. I couldn't face forwards with the guitar. So I had to like sidestep onto stage.
People think this lifestyle is so rock and roll.
All
it is drink, drugs, and sex. And no, it's awkwardly walking down a corridor like a crab.
Yeah. Can I get backstage passes? Can I be in your green room? I'm like,
there's no fucking room. I can't be in my green room.
There's no windows. There's absolutely nothing in here.
Something green.
Yes.
No. I haven't been to one green room this
week. I was just going to say, have you?
Mm-hmm. That was what? We're in what? I actually don't remember where it was. I think it was North Carolina. And it was a green room. It wasn't a green room, but it was a green door. And in the middle of the night, my merch guy and my drummer, like, we had a few drinks. I was in bed by this point. They got a bunch of black Sharpies that they were using to sign. They drew the entire door black. Like, it used to be green, and they had just, so now it's, I guess it's not really a green room.
Formerly green door. It's like a terrible Green Day cover band, isn't it?
Formerly green door. They are starting something.
Yeah.
Starting something. They're on the way back up with new songs, so why not?
Oh, Green Day.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them.
No, sweet. They've been
expanded the world 9 times. I stopped caring after the third, to be honest. Oh, and I was like, oh yeah, God. We get it. You're fucking massive, and every time you come back, you're gonna be fucking massive.
Yeah.
Give me something new.
You mentioned like you needed help from us then. Hey guys, listen to this.
Go check out Green Day.
Yeah, because we've got a bigger fan base than Green Day, please go and check out Green Day. That's fucking mental, Mo.
Oh, no, but moving on. As you said, this tour seems like it's being a lot of fun and stuff already. But it always seems like your community of fans are just so interactive and wholesome with everything you do. Is there being any points lately where you've seen maybe like signs or received gifts or anything where you're just kind of like, well, you've really gone out to bring this here?
Dude, like every single day.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that like, obviously like bands will tour and they'll have fans and they'll love them. And I'm like, but I do that. But then I've also been on YouTube since I was 15, posting like once or twice a week. My entire life is documented on the internet. So like people have like parasocial relationships, whatever. But with me, I'm like, it's a parasocial relationship, but you know more about me than like most of my family does. Yeah. So they know me so well. So like the stuff that they make for me is like insane. Like last I was in Cardiff, someone made like a personalized vinyl sleeve for me. Ooh. I was like, that's sick. I get braces. I'm wearing a my recent song has a lyric called I'm an ADHD LGBT LMNOPI. I'm not the one who should be barred from the community. And I've gotten about like 16 ADHD LGBT LMNOP bracelets on this tour, and it's been like 4 days. So like they love giving gifts.
Yeah,
they're very sweet.
Yeah, you can always open a post to a merch shop.
Oh, there's some stuff I came across.
Jeez, I feel so bad about, like, because I have so much of it and I just keep it in a box. Like I'm never gonna throw it out, but like I need to put it.
Do you know
somewhere.
What I will say? Keep doing it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
one day you will want to look in a box.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
But genuinely now, like, there's moments. Because I thought when the blackout was doing all right, I thought that was going to happen just forever.
Yeah,
I thought
I
was going to be like a 90-year-old man singing children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when that ended, I was like, oh, fuck. Because there was points where I didn't go sightseeing. Like, we went to Australia a bunch of times, and I never went sightseeing. So I was like, I'll see this another time.
Yeah.
And then it fucking stopped.
Dude, like, that is like the opposite of my mindset. I'm like, this is going to be the last one. Like, I'm going to flop next year and no one's going to turn up. So, like, I can't do the sightseeing thing. Like, I have such limited energy that I'll get to the venue, I'll have a nap, do VIP, have a nap, get on stage, have a nap. But yeah, no, like, we've documented, like, every single tour. Like, Corey's come with us on every single tour. He has every set filmed, the entire thing, like, all the crowd interactions. I keep, like, everything that I get from VIP. I'm like a hoarder of memories.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love that.
That's crazy you've gone that far that you actually have all the sets and everything as well. Because I think everyone kind of documents it with fucking 15-second clips on Instagram or whatnot. Anyway, the fact that you've got it all in the hard drive, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
the amount of money we spent on storage space is insane. It's insane.
Just got a closet full of hard drives.
Oh, fully.
Yeah?
100%. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you must do. Because as you said, you've been like on YouTube and stuff since you were 15.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of gigabytes.
That's a lot of terabytes.
But like, it must be crazy when you do interact with people and they bring up maybe something you haven't really thought about for 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And they know these little details and stuff about you. Does there ever get a bit, do you ever get like shocked by it? Or do you just kind of get like, oh, that's cool that you remember that one minor detail about my life?
I get shocked about it. And horrified at the same time. Mm. Like, people would be like, oh, remember this old username? Remember this argument we had?
Oh,
like,
God.
I had an argument with you when you were 15. and it's like everybody is cringing. Everybody's really embarrassing when they're a 15-year-old. But, like, having an audience going through that phase. And I think about this a lot, like, the older I get. Like, wrote that song growing up on the internet because, like, I was being so reflective about that shit this year. But I think about the fact that, like, there are different versions of me that are on the internet forever. And like, people will join an audience, see one version of me, and then leave at some point, and then live the rest of their lives being like, oh, he's that 15-year-old kid that made that really cringy song about Donald Trump. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, like, it freaks me out when people bring up stuff, because I'm like, that's a different person. I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But in the weird way you've been able to document stuff, it must be kind of surreal to have that experience, to look back.
Just
pick up an age and pick on how different you've become and how much you've evolved as a person or different tastes and personalities. Like, it must be just crazy that all of that is out there. You know, there's a lot of pros and cons with it, but I'm sure it's just like crazy to see.
It is. And you know what? I'm glad I never had a big, fat, bigoted, like, racist phase that, like, so many people just end up having.
Hey, you know, it's not happened yet.
No.
Do you know what? I think now
oh my God.
Is the perfect time.
You go first.
I'm just like, because I have, like, there are hundreds of videos of me. There are hundreds of pictures of me. And, like, every now and then, like, the next, like, influencer will, like, tweets will come up. And I'm like, look back and I'm like, I just tweeted about really fancying Frank Iero. That was the worst of it.
Oh, don't bring that up and let him know. That would be awful. No. That would be terrible if he messaged me and said, thank you for that.
You Google hard enough, you'll find it. Yeah. So I'm not even going to try and run through it.
Oh, that'd be good though. Hey, get that sorted.
It's just being able to reflect on so much. How much would you say you've changed from first being on YouTube and getting into music? Like, how would you say?
Oh, dude. I've been through like three like regenerations, I swear to God. Like, I started YouTube when I was in a boarding school, a naval boarding school. as a girl, not out in school, only out to myself and like friends online. Came out to everyone when I was like 17 or whatever. But that means like for 2 years, I was like, I didn't put like my old name on the internet. I went by Newt, like Pingu. Because I knew I wanted to be Noah, but I didn't want to say I was Noah because then if people from school found it, all of that stuff. So like 15, 17, closeted in real life. A guy online, it was like Hannah Montana. It was fully like I was two different people. And then I did come out, and then I documented like all the changes on testosterone and all that kind of stuff. And then like throughout that, like I don't like, obviously why would they, but like people don't realize how much like just having a slightly different hormone level completely changes you as a person. Like my personality is the same, but like the way I feel emotions is so different. So like that completely changes everything. And then I finally got the confidence, you know, like get top surgery and then start singing and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, until I was like 19, I fully wasn't a person. So there are like, there were like 4 years of my life that on the internet where I was just like, I couldn't speak on the phone, couldn't go to parties, didn't know how to communicate with people, but I could do that shit online. And then started posting music, started posting that kind of stuff. And then things kind of blew up from there. So like, there is like, I do it by looking at haircuts that I had. I'm like, oh, that's red hair Noah. Yeah, no, he's not like that anymore. But yeah, like I feel like every single year there's just so much change because like I've been through so many different things in such a short amount of time.
And going from that, and you know, as you said, not being able to be on the phone, go to parties and stuff, and now thinking that you're selling out multiple venues around the UK.
It doesn't add up.
Yeah.
It does add up, though. This is the thing. Stop saying that.
Okay, I'll stop saying it. It adds up.
No, but this is the thing. You do deserve it.
Thank you.
Genuinely, if you didn't deserve it, it wouldn't be fucking happening.
I guess.
Or if you didn't deserve it, it would have happened so fast that it would have gone straight away.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've got this fucking growth and you're getting bigger and these shows are bigger than, you know, like fucking last night's was fucking insane.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Please keep that in mind. It's a good thing. You. Not like
I know, you but deserve like, it. My headspace is like, I would rather act like this is the last time that I'm ever going to do anything and be really pleasantly surprised than because like so many people like with like even like with numbers and YouTube, like so many people would like they'd hit like 100k and they'd be like, I'm the shit. Don't talk to, like, I've met, like, I've been to these influencer events, like,
oh,
these, like,
snap.
The, like, literally people hit, like, 100k and all of a sudden they're like, sorry, I only speak to people with, like, followers like me. But, like, I would much rather just be like, yeah, it's whatever, like, we're doing cool, I guess, and if it lasts, it lasts, if it doesn't, it doesn't, but it's nice to be pleasantly surprised by things doing good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How cutthroat is that YouTube community in sense of like the creators itself,
so it's
compared to the music industry?
I think it's different now because like 10 years ago it was like YouTube was the big thing, and now it's like a mix of like TikTok. People don't really blow up on YouTube nowadays, and if they do, it's like Mr. Beast. So it's not really, there's less of a community now rather than back in the day, but nowadays it's more like TikTokers. And like, I mean, there are plenty of people that are so nice, like the loveliest people ever, and there's every now and then a few people that are just like the worst, like won't look at you in the eye, like won't, is that my phone? I'm sorry.
Popular.
It's probably my mom. but there are plenty of people that like won't look you in the eye, won't bother having a conversation, will just be really rude and just get away with it because like that's a thing that I've been dealing with since I was like 15. Like people, I'm sure you guys have like dealt with it before, where like people are around you and they try and big you up and they try and like shove their nose up your arsehole. But yeah, I mean, I haven't had too bad of an experience, but I know a lot of people that have had some really weird experiences.
Who's the strangest viral person you've met?
Pardon?
Who's like the strangest in the YouTube world I guess the people who went viral quickly, who disappeared. Who's the weirdest one you've come across?
Weirdest?
I met that chocolate rain fella once.
Oh, Tay
Zombie. Was he nice? Yeah, he was actually. He was very nice. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad. I can't think of like.
I went to a VidCon.
Specifically, of course you did. Yeah, VidCon's a time.
Yeah. It was, it was strange.
I did not enjoy VidCon.
No, me neither.
It's not a nice place. It's weird as hell.
Yeah, Tay was walking around on his own. That's the only reason like I kind of met him.
Yeah.
He was just like out and about. There was a couple of people, like the, I guess the older people knew him, but like the younger people were like, oh, No idea.
Oh, no idea. Was he nice?
Yeah, lovely. He was lovely. But then there was loads of others who were
not.
Massive dickhead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, so I'm not going to say his name. There was this one time where we were staying at a friend's house in LA. And she was like, we should go hang out at this guy's house. Like, he's a YouTuber too, but he's nice. He's chill. And I was like, okay, cool. We're like, you can drive. I can't. Like, I guess we're in your car. Like, we're going. And we end up in this, in like Hollywood Hills, Beverly Hills, whatever. It's like, you know, the hills, the rich people hills with the big pools. We end up at his house and he's so suspicious of us. Like, he's so paranoid about us. And we're just there like, I don't know who you are. Like, I don't know what you do. I'm just here because my friend is here. And he went to go pick up some food or something. And my friend was like, oh, so is this the code for the gate just to lock it? Just in case, like, I want to go out for like a cigarette or something. He was like, no. It's not. That's not the code. That's no, don't Uh-oh. Shush. That's not the code. And then he leaves and she gets a text being like, why would you say that in front of them? Like, I don't know who they are. And I was like, I'm not going to break into your house. I live in London. Nope. Like, yeah. So like, I guess.
Also, I've got ADHD, so I'm not even going to remember.
Dude, exactly. I'm like, I don't even remember what your name is. Yeah. Like, I don't know where we are. Like, how am I going to find myself here again? I guess that was weird. There are a few like, I can't think of anything crazy weird. Just weird. Just people being rude, really, is like the weirdest, I guess.
You've got a nice insight being from both sides of YouTube and music that you can see that kind of crossover. You can see people's different personalities and how they're reacting to stuff and why. And it seems when you hear stories like that, it always seems like everyone's so worried within, maybe because they're on camera and stuff all the time compared to bands, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it might be that. I think, because there's obviously, I guess influencers are up for way more scrutiny because they put out more content into the world than bands do. Like a band will like post a single, music video. And I guess nowadays people are making like way more like TikTok stuff, but it's still not really like personality based unless there's like a few artists like Youngblood and like Water Parks with like Austin, like they're very personality driven. But yeah, I guess it must be that. And I think he was like a streamer as well. So he probably feels like he's constantly under surveillance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could have been that, or it could have just been like the whole LA, you know, that whole LA kind of thing.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. All that is just absolutely wild. When was the moment you realized that like, oh, I can sing and I want to get into music and not just the videos? Because so many people are worried that like, oh, maybe I should just stick to one thing.
Yeah.
So was there ever a moment branching out where you were like, oh, is this the right move? Or was it just like,
is
fuck it, I can...
YouTube
or... Well, that's funny. I started YouTube doing covers.
Mm.
Like I, to put long story short, the way I did like the social media thing, started off as a My Chemical Romance fan account on Instagram.
Yes.
Any high quality picture of Frank Iero you want, I have. I had the best ones. I would not tell anyone where I got them from. I gained followers from that, and then I started posting guitar covers of My Chemical Romance.
Right.
And then I posted them on YouTube, and then I started posting like ukulele covers. Like I would do like Bring Me the Horizon covers on the ukulele. So like I started off doing like music based stuff, and like the following that I had all like the same kind of alternative music as me. And it was after I came out where I started posting more about LGBT stuff. I'd post like one gay video a week and like one singing video a week. So that was never really like a problem. I feel like obviously there are a lot of like influencers that just do like TikTok dances and then break out into the music. But I think because I built that community like as a 15-year-old emo kid, they grew up with me and they still like the same stuff. So that wasn't as much of a worry as I guess it could be of some people.
I also think people can tell that your heart is actually in the music, whereas a lot of the YouTubers who then go into music or street, you know, anyone in the social media aspect who goes into music, a lot of the time you can just tell that it's a bit fake and it's been done for them. Or
I know exactly what you mean. It's like it doesn't feel like they have. I think it's a thing where they don't. There are a lot of people that like gain an audience online just from like having fun, and that's so sick. But then when it comes to making music, unless their message is like, let's party, let's have fun, I think it's hard for them to find an identity, because it's like, what message are you trying to put out? Like, are you putting out music because you like to sing? Because that's one thing. You can like to sing and have someone else write the music for you. But like, if you're putting out your own music, it has to say something, right? But yeah, it is a very strange thing. And it was something, I wasn't really worried about my audience in terms of music, but I was worried about like outside audiences being like, he says, you like, that's what like people would be like, YouTube extraordinaire, no offense. I'm like, I just post videos about gay shit and my little bring their eyes and covers. But it was mostly like the outside that I was more worried about.
Right, yeah.
But I did get that insane. Like when I was announced for that first Shikari Underplay tour, people were like, why is this TikToker here? I was like, do you want me to explain my entire history online as if you give a shit? But yeah, it was mostly just like outside that I was worried about.
Have you had any interaction with any of My Chemical Romance yet?
I met Frank Iero when I was 14 years old and I was wearing a drop dead itchy and scratchy hoodie and he said, oh, I love your hoodie. Do you know which one's itchy and scratchy? And I said, no, Frank Iero, sorry. But other than that, no. I mean, like I've written with Steve Patel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we wrote this song called Lovely Ladies that's going to be on the album. And we used Our Lady of Sorrows from MCR's first album just as an influence because I was like, Do you know that song?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, Stan, I'm fucking tall, don't let them. We used that, like, the jumpiness of that, like, as a reference. And when we finished it, Steve was like, do you mind if I show this to the boys when you're happy with it?
No.
I was like, the boys?
No, boys?
Right. He's like, yeah, the boys are My Chemical Romance. So I was like,
The boys.
But
tell them it's 79 pence on Apple Music if they want to pick it.
It's not been mastered yet. So like maybe then.
But, it's coming.
Yeah.
Vital is literally the ultimate gateway in the into all that.
How can we? I want to be involved in this. Making Mike M and Noah get together.
Hell yeah.
It's fine. Just message me. Mikey follows us and stuff. That's true. Him
yeah.
Yeah, at least one of them is going to see that, like, see this when it comes out because he follows us.
Cut out the bit about me fancying Frank.
No.
Leave it.
The whole episode is based around that one sentence.
No offense, fancy Frank Iero? !! Not clickbait.
No way. Absolutely nobody's surprised.
Yeah, nah. To be fair.
But yeah, we got to make this happen. I'm getting excited thinking about it.
I want to sort of go back to the part where you were saying about, you know, the messages and songs. And
yeah.
People, you know, maybe think, oh, because you're on YouTube and all this and stuff. But I've always found your lyrics have always been kind of like storytelling based or very open and very like personalized. It's, you know, with some artists, they kind of hide away a message within the song. But I think it's just really out there for you. Since day one, was that just like the natural thing that you just wanted to be like, well, this is who I am and I, you know, don't be artsy about it. This is just, I want to tell people.
Like, well, that's the thing about me. Like, I can't sugarcoat shit. I can't, but I'd like, the fact that like I managed to be in the closet for as long as I was is insane to me. Cause I was like, I was 10 years old, like with a little fucking Justin Bieber haircut. Like I was not this little girl that people thought I was. But yeah, like it's never like intentional. It's more just like, I write music about how I'm feeling and I'm not going to sugarcoat how I'm feeling if it feels shit. And I've like writing with writers at first was like difficult for me because they try and come up with like flowery metaphors. And I was like, no, like that's cool. You wrote that. But if you write a lyric and I didn't write a lyric, it's not going in the song and I'm not going to write it like a metaphor or all flowery or all that kind of shit. Cause that's not how I feel. And that's not the way that I want the music to feel. So like, yeah, it was never like, it's never like I'm intentionally like, no, I'm just going to put it straightforward like this. It's more just like, here's a song about how I feel.
Yeah, it's the best way to be, really. But as we're talking about writing with other people, one thing I did want to bring up was that I saw you were in the writing studio with Stephen Patel and Danny and Dougie from McFly recently. What is that experience like being in the room creating with them? Because all three of them have been on the podcast. We know them very, very well.
Yeah.
I'm a huge McFly fan.
Of course.
So I just want to know what that process is being like writing with them.
Dude, it's so fun. It's 99% of it is just chatting shit. Like just absolute bollocks, like absolute shite. And like, it's just fun, man. Like it's really nice to see that, like they're not jaded at all. Like they genuinely enjoy what they're doing and it's so nice because like I've written with some people that are just like, I come in, they're like, yeah, hi, don't know what your name is, don't give a shit about you, I'll leave every 15 minutes, go to the toilet, I'll go speak to people outside the room. But like they're so into it, they're so genuinely interested in like what you want to write about, like how you want to put it out, they're so interested in like hearing ideas. And like I guess like writing with different people and different producers, there's always like a different way that we do it. But with them, it was like we just sat around with guitars around the room and just started playing, started jamming. Yeah, it was just fun. Like, I spent 4 days with them. We didn't need to spend 4 days to write that song. the song is less than 2 minutes long. Like, it's a straight up just like punk beat, but bah, 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 bah. But we just had so much fun. And we just talked about so much shit, like everything. It was just hanging out with friends, really. And then we ended up writing a song that we all really like. Like, they'll individually, they'll be like, I saw them at Victoria's Fest and they all came over and they're like singing the song. They're like, mate, I can't get it out of my head. But it was just genuinely the nicest time. It was like such a comfortable environment, which I wasn't sure what it was going to be like going into it.
Yeah. No, I love hearing that. I was lucky enough. I've been to that, like that little studio space that they have. And yeah, I can only imagine the magic that goes on behind the scenes kind of thing. So.
Yeah, and the amount of kid they have is insane.
Oh, ridiculous. Yeah.
Like,
ridiculous.
They're like, oh yeah, do you want to pick up a guitar? And I'm like, these look very expensive. I don't play guitar properly.
I might scrap this.
No, literally, I was like, can you tell me which one I'm allowed to play so I don't... He's like, no, just take whatever. I'm like, okay. Mr. McFly. Thank you. Mr. McFly.
Do you need this one? Can I keep it?
Literally.
Can you sign it for no reason? Yeah.
No. Can you not check eBay for next week? Thanks, guys.
Don't do an inventory check, please.
Yeah, once I've gone, don't count the guitars. Let's move on.
It doesn't help that their studio is literally a 5-minute walk from my house.
Oh, really?
So, like, yeah, no, I'm not going away with that.
Do you just pop over anytime?
Oh, 100%. They're great.
I need to move to London, really.
Yes.
It's too expensive.
If Dougie and Danny and Stephen Patel write you a song before they write me a song, right, I'm going to be fucking livid.
I want to write with them. I just want to be in there. I'll just do a cowbell or a triangle. Oh, yeah. Like,
you know, Simon.
The guy's like, boys, anyone want a cowbell? And they go, yeah, we have. We're not going to bother. All right, thank you.
That's the shit that Simon Cowell does with like every single artist he writes with. He's like, oh, let me do a ha into the mic. Royalties, please. Thank you.
Clever.
Yeah.
It's evil, it's but it's so also evil. Clever.
Yeah.
Bastard. Gets himself... I bet his PRS... Yeah, of course. His PRS every quarter is way more. Oh, like thousands of pounds more than mine. Just for appearing on other people's records.
And
like,
he's never written anything in his entire life, right?
Ah, good. That's made me feel great about my life, so...
I read something that I think he owns the rights to the Power Rangers theme as well. So every time... I don't know why I know that.
Every time what? Punk rock? Play the Power Rangers.
Every time Power Rangers is on, I guess he gets a couple of pence.
Simon Cowell.
The things this man does not deserve, but has.
I want him on now to find out what he fucking owns that we don't realize he owns. He's got to be loads of stuff. He's you know Big Ben? What, the clock? I own that.
What?
Yeah, I bought the rights to the bongs.
Yeah,
years ago.
I got the rights to the bongs. You use any of them in any film, I get fucking money from it.
I know, they just give me the big clock. Oh, nice that time. That's wicked. Yeah, nice, yeah.
Jeez. You didn't have enough money, eh? How have we gone to Simon Cowell?
I'm really good at derail the conversation.
No, I love it. Go wild. Was there any little techniques or anything that those guys used in particular that kind of like sparked a new way you've looked at music or a new way to in that session?
I think most of what I took away from it was just like how fun it was and how it didn't feel like work. Because like there was never any pressure to like... Because like, I'm sure like you've written with people where it's just like, okay, in and out, let's do this verse, let's do this chorus, let's make a banger, let's make a hit, we'll make a hit. And with them, it was just like, let's just have fun, write a song, have a good time. I think it was mostly just like that whole relaxed vibe, because like, I'm still, I guess I'm not as new to it now, but like, I still feel like a baby in comparison to the people that like, I'm around. So I'm learning everything every single time. But yeah, I think I used to have so much anxiety going into it, and I'd go in with such an expectation that I'd have to write something that I'd like. And there was no pressure at all. So I think it was just like being more relaxed, really, that I learned from them.
Nice.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I guess they probably had that passed down to them from like working with Jason Perry. Like, I know you've worked with Jason as well.
I love him.
But like, yeah, literally the world's nicest fella.
Yeah.
He did the same thing with us. Like, we went to Texas to record and we were all like, right, we've got 2 weeks, so we need to get this fucking done. And he's like,
two weeks?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
If we're not done, we'll just go to London and then just record the rest in a studio. Let's just fucking have a laugh, shoot some guns that they've got in the studio.
Yeah.
And yeah, just have fun with it. And that was one of the biggest eye-openers for us, I guess, as a band. It was like, oh yeah, we don't have to be fucking pressed. Even though the label's like, we need this fucking album now. Yeah.
But that's their job to be stressing.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can't, that's because I literally just got, I finished writing my first album like last month. And that's one thing that I was thinking. I was like, oh, there's deadlines. And like, like from like management, from like the label, so much pressure. And then I'd get in the room with like the people that I'm writing with, and like the producer, and they'd be like, look, if we're not finished, they're not going to make us finish it. We've just got to write the songs.
Finished record.
Yeah.
They can't put out a tune we haven't sent them.
Yeah. And that clicked in my head. I was like, oh, wait. Well, that's crazy. Yeah, you're right.
Number 5 on the album, no song here. 3.5 minutes of silence. They were meant to send us a song, but we never got it in time.
Oh, just do that. Just do a fucking silence bit in the album, please, just to make everyone go, what
verse
is this?
Here, chorus yeah. there.
What's this? Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is where the song would have been.
Just say that.
Rest yeah. in peace.
Halfway through the silence, just...
Song placer for 3.5 minutes. We should have put the song, but we didn't finish it in time. But
oh, mad. God. I know you love to just have derailing conversations, and you said you didn't like compliments, but I guess this is going to be paid as one a little bit.
Oh, God.
But you said...
Fuck, stop it, you prick.
No, but
tell me I'm shit.
I wanted to touch on this because, you know, we've talked about how loving your community is and fans and just... so nice and wholesome about everything. But I think they've really connected with you. A lot of them would have connected with you just on the sense of like trying to find themselves, whether it be with gender or their sexuality and not having that kind of a place and something maybe they can relate to. So they found it with you and through your music and through your videos and being online. Has there ever been any pressure realizing that and seeing people be a kind of like, having you on a pedestal maybe for this generation of people kind of finding themselves? I mean, does it ever get in your head about that? Or is it just kind of like, no, that's really cool that people are kind of relating to me, and if I can help in any way, then that's...
I wish it was just cool. I think it's like, oh, not to be a downer, but literally just like the past 2 years in terms of like anti-trans legislation. In the US, it was first the fucking worst, but then it's seeping through to the UK. And I think I started touring probably at the worst time for that. My first US tour was last year. Wait, what year? 2023. Yes. My first US tour was last year, and we started in Texas.
Hey. Oh.
So I was meeting trans kids in Texas who's like, the rules are that like, if you say anything about being trans in school, your parents have to be like contacted. You have to be outed to your parents. Just like ridiculous rules. Like, next year when we go to America, I'm not sure what the laws are, but when I was there last time, they were looking at counting me as like a drag act, because I was born a girl and I dressed as a guy, and that means that I wouldn't be able to play to under 18s, but just that kind of shit. So I started touring in America during all that kind of stuff.
That's crazy.
And like that was the first time that I like met these kids for the first time, and just like heard about their experiences and how different it is for them growing up. Like, it's different that they can be out because people are more aware of trans stuff, but it's also different because like the government is coming after them. Like the media is coming after them. I think it's really cool that people look up to me. And I guess that would be a lot of pressure to like anyone, but I think with the added like anti-trans thing kind of going on, it's a big level of responsibility. And I think that's, within the past 2 years, that's something that's been on my mind like constantly, like daily. I'm like with music, like what kind of music do I want to make? Like, do people need this song? Like, the same with like YouTube videos. I'm like, my thing with YouTube is like, I love reacting to transphobia. Like, the comments I get, horrible, but fucking hilarious. Like, and I love taking the piss out of it, but then I'm just like, oh, do people want to see more of this? Like, do people want to see transphobia in their face constantly? But yeah, it is a tough one, that level of responsibility. And I don't think I started feeling it until I started touring and like actually meeting the kids, because it's really easy to just see numbers and be like, oh yeah, cool, that's enough clicks. But then seeing them in person and being like the first like time I met people in the first show in America, people were like, yeah, I've grown up with you. I've watched every single video that you posted every single week for the past 6 years. So they like look up to me, and I'm like, wow, I feel like your big brother, and I don't even know you. Like, and especially with like the LGBT stuff, because it hits like so hard for people, because like, even like when I was younger, I knew I was trans. Like, I was 5 years old funniest story. I thought that boys piss facing the toilet, as in they squat facing the toilet. So I used to piss like that, and my dad walked in on me once and was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I knew from...
I'm putting things up on the back of the toilet.
Literally.
I could read while I'm peeing.
Dude, it was... But like so I knew from an early age, but it wasn't until like I started like Googling stuff and actually like seeing other trans people on the internet that I actually realized that this was a thing that like people could do. And I know that I'm that for other people. So like, that's the best feeling ever, but it's also just like, oh, I hope I do this right. Like, I hope I do this right, because, like, so many people haven't done it right. That's a very long-winded way of saying yes is a lot of pressure.
No, but this is what is really interesting to hear, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will appreciate the honesty. And it's just, like, I had no idea that, you know, when you're touring in the States, you have those restrictions, people are like, you know, you can't play a show unless they're over 18s, because think it, like... That is so weird.
It's crazy.
Just think about and think that you have to deal with, but also your fans got to deal with as well. They can't just go to the shit. They've got to like abide these weird fucking rules. And
it's that. And it's just like kids will come to the show and they'll be like, yeah, I snuck out of the house for this. If my dad found me here, he would like kick me out. Like just speaking to them, but they're like, because they're so used to it, they're like, ha, yeah, I'd get kicked out if my dad saw me here. I'm like, I'm glad you can laugh, man, but I'm really sorry. Like,
don't put that evil on me.
Literally.
That's not my fault, please.
No, I know.
Don't fucking post your Instagram, man.
Yeah, no. Well, that's the thing, because I post videos like from the shows, and every single show, I have this song called Asthma Attack that's like, I wrote it when I was 15 about how shit I felt being trans. And we play it every night, and before I play it every night, I'm like, are there any transgenders in the building? And I do that, and so many kids love it. But I think constantly every single night, I'm like, what about the kids who are there with their parents that are too scared to come out to their parents, who can't hold their hand up, who can't feel comfortable there? Oh. So it's like a constant thing where I'm like, I'm not worrying about my safety when I go there, because I know I'll be fine. But like, I worry a lot about the kids in my audience all the time, yeah.
Do you get a lot of parents? Do you talk to a lot of parents of fans as well?
Dude, they are, yes, it's the loveliest thing. Like, I think, like, my favorite YouTube comments to get are just like, hey, like, I look back at how I was in the past, and after watching your videos, I realize how screwed up the stuff I was saying was, and I get parents commenting on my videos being like, I wasn't so sure when my kid came out as trans to me, I thought it was going to be a phase, and then watching you, I realized, like, because, like, I explain it as clearly as I can, because I want people to understand. They're like, watching you, I get it, and then meeting the parents in person is like, it's the nicest thing ever. Like, literally in Glasgow, like 2 days ago, there was this dad that came. He was like, yeah, so like, I was supposed to come here with my son, but he had so much anxiety. He really doesn't like being perceived, because like the level of discomfort that he has is horrible. So he couldn't end up coming here. So I just sat and chatted with this dad about like, oh, I'm so sorry about that. Like, I'll send him a video. And there was another dad that was just like, do you have any advice for parents of trans kids? Like, what would you recommend? What do you feel like you needed? And like, it's so nice meeting the parents, because it's just like, you give so much of a shit, and I'm so glad that you are invested in your kid's comfort in the way that you are. Cause I know that, but like, I grew up in friend groups where my friends got kicked out, got made homeless as like teenagers for coming out as trans. So it's meeting the parents is like,
well, think how rare that would have been like 10 years ago you're a parent going like, what can I do to make my child's life fucking more comfortable?
Yeah. Like, I was telling my parents, I was like, can I get a boy haircut? I would cry if I went into the girl section of H&M, and they didn't know what that, like, they didn't know what being trans was. So they didn't know. And the fact that like nowadays there are people's parents who are just being like, so like, what's the word? Productive. It doesn't matter what the word is. Just being real nice about it.
Yeah. But it's nice to see that everyone has someone like you, especially going into the more emo side of life that they can relate to, and that's having these messages and stuff. And I'm sure like it can weigh a lot on you personally sometimes. I'm sure the good outweighs the bad.
I would not be doing this shit if it was all bad. Like, it's I feel like it's a kind of necessary kind of pain almost. I'm like, I had to go through this shit. Now I'm on the other side where I don't feel personal discomfort. But yeah, it is a lot, but I love it, and it makes every show feel so special. I struggle to find things I do important, but like when I see kids' reactions to that kind of stuff, I'm like, okay, cool, this feels good. Even if it's hard, it feels good.
But even that little 30 seconds of you asking that question on stage, you know, that probably means so much to them that they can like answer and
exactly.
and everything like that. I don't want to get too deep, but I feel like this is important to say, is like you mentioned a lot about like governments and stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, the government over here hasn't been very kind.
Rishi Sunak's a prick. I fucking hate that guy.
I wanted to bring up though the reactions, the way I've seen you react to all of this is because the stuff they've said is absolutely horrible. And you know, I'm sure deep down you were very angry about it. You could easily just go online and be like, fuck this. But you've kind of approached it in a way where you're putting the mirror back at them and being like, look how fucking stupid this sounds.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's really hard, but it must be cool that people then look at what you've posted and going,
That's kind of fucking crazy.
Of course it's that. Not just basing an old fucking next political fucking decision on bullshit.
It's like every 20 years, there's like a new scapegoat. Like in the 80s, it was gays. And like they're using the exact same arguments they used about gay people. And they're doing that for trans people. Like, oh, they're not safe around our kids. They're like, what do you mean? Like, we just want to piss. Like, we're like, what do you think? Like, we just want to. And the thing that pisses me off the most is that like, the media pushes it and people don't question it. Which I'm like, nowadays you have an iPhone, you can Google shit, you can Google statistics about trans women being more likely to be beaten the fuck up in a bathroom than to ever perpetrate anything. But yeah, it's I it's so easy to be angry, but like I make angry music and emo music, but it's like sarcastic and fun, and I don't think I have that like angry bone in my body. I could be like angry as hell, I could be, but I'd never shout. I'd never like blow up at someone. I think that's the only way that I can react to those kind of things. Like I get insane comments and they piss me off, but I'm just like, I think the most productive thing is to just show people how dumb it is. Like you were saying, like, oh dude, the amount of, I could talk about this for hours, but like the amount of shit that like I get commented on, like people will comment on a video where I talk about like going on testosterone and they'll be like, well, you're going to have a stroke, you're going to have a heart attack, and you're going to die. And if you look at the data, the level of likelihood of having a stroke increases to that of what it would be if I was born a guy.
Wow.
And like, that's what you got to do. Like, you just need to take the things that they're saying, read them, be like, oh, you're dumb as shit. Oh, you have no fucking clue what you're talking about. And yeah, I think people don't want to see another fucking person be angry about it. They just want to... They know we're all going through it, and I'd rather be lighthearted about it and speak about it in a way that's understandable than just fucking be that angry trans guy, because it's so easy to fill that role.
Yeah, but I'm sure that takes a lot of mental like well-being to push that anger aside for a second to then put maybe a comedy side to it. But as well, I feel maybe a lot of people have seen your stuff and have learned about that because of that approach and of seeing it in a different light. But Yeah, it's just the world's mad, and it's just nice that you're kind of fighting against it all.
I'm too stubborn to not.
How do you just unwind? Like, there's got to be something you do, like, away
heroin.
From music.
Just
a homeless druggie.
Welcoming in the homeless druggie.
I do heroin. I do.
How do I unwind? Little weed. Okay. Little bit of weed.
Tidy.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Tidy. And just watching. Pardon?
Have you got any with you?
No. I want to preserve my voice. I mean, you do.
I purposely didn't say that on a microphone.
Well, no, you don't.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Just
watching. That homeless druggie sounded exactly like Sean. That is so weird.
Sorry, guys. What happened then? I left the room for 3 minutes. Those exact 3 minutes where somebody admitted to having drugs in their possession. Shit. But yeah.
But no, I unwind by just watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Having a bath. I will have a bath for 4 hours. It'll get cold. I'll heat it up again. I don't know. I've still not figured that out yet. Yeah. Like the ADHD thing is like,
right. Yeah.
Unwinding is kind of impossible. I can't get work done like unless I take my ADHD medication. But that also means that unwinding is hard. So I'm still trying to figure it out. But I think just like texting my friends. Really, I haven't. I've not got a secret yet that works.
Can I ask, as someone who I think I'm fucking riddled with ADHD, really, and it would explain the way my life is and has gone.
Yeah.
Well, how did you find when you first started medication, and what are the pros and cons to it? Because I don't know whether I should go and look into it and get it sort like.
I think it's so different for different people. I think I remember the first time I ever took like Ritalin, I was so nervous about it because like it's a stimulant.
Mm.
It's like this is like people take this recreationally. But I took it and it felt like beforehand my thoughts were all over the place. They were like in the sky and I could almost pick out and grab one, but I couldn't really pay attention to it long enough to get anything done. Like I'd have so many ideas, but I wouldn't write them down and then I'd never finish anything. And the first time I took medication, it felt like all those thoughts in my heads? All those thoughts in my head kind of like calmed down a little bit so that I could focus on like a few at a time. I recorded this voice note the first day I took it and it's not going to make any sense, but I was like, it felt like my head was a potato and like I finally got the masher to get all the stuff out of it that I needed to. But yeah, I mean like there are side effects, like your appetite goes. You don't eat on it, you feel like not like a junkie, but like you feel like, oh my God, I'm just you, what's going on? But I think, yeah, it's I've been through times where like I haven't wanted to go on it. I've been through times where I've needed to go on it. But I take it every day now, and it kind of just helps me focus on things. Because beforehand, I'd find it very easy to make excuses for myself as to like why I couldn't do something. I'd be like, oh yeah, well, I could film that video, or I could do it tomorrow, even though I know I'm not going to do that.
Oh, I know that.
Whereas now, like, yeah, like, but the thing with the medication for me is that like if I don't write down a to-do list the night before or the morning of, if I don't set out a plan for the day, I will get distracted. And like Ritalin, if you get into something, you get into like video games, you get into like working, there are times where you can just get stuck on it. So I've had several days where I haven't had a plan. I'm like, oh, I'll make a plan when I've taken the medication. Of course I don't. And then I get stuck in the bath for 4 hours playing Zelda. So yeah. There are obviously positives and negatives, and there are different ones people can try. But for me, at least, like it's helped calm me down, even though it's a stimulant.
Would you say the show would be any different if you didn't take it one day?
Well, that's the thing. I used to not take it. Like, well, so first US tour, had a tour bus. It was like a month long. The air conditioning didn't work. I had heat stroke the entire tour. So I was like, I can't eat. I just can't take my ADHD medication. And I think energy was a difficult thing at that point. But this whole tour I've been taking it, and it's just been, it's been fine. I think it's more, I feel level headed during the day rather than up and down and up and down and up and down. So I think it does actually help the show. Yeah.
Cool.
But I've done it without. I'll
look
and
into
with.
It.
Yeah.
Fucking look into it. Then.
Yeah.
Jesus.
As long as you don't use it to like, as long as you don't like rely on it being like, I need this, I need this, I need this. I'm like, I do need this to get a lot of work done, but I can still do work without it.
Yeah. Right. Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Super appreciate you being honest about so many different things throughout this conversation. As we start to wind down a little bit, because we know you need to go and prepare for a rock and roll show.
Go fight off your almost druggies to get back to the van.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Just a couple of things. I mean, obviously, you mentioned there that you've actually finished the new album.
Yeah,
is that true?
Yeah.
What can we expect? I'm sure there's no like timeline or anything yet, but as it's fresh and finished in your brain, like what is one thing that you kind of want to tease or just like really excited for people to hear eventually?
God, I think it's like when I was writing it, I have so many musical interests. I have so many things that I give a shit about and I get so bored doing the same thing over and over again. So the album is full of like the heaviest shit I've ever done. Also like the poppiest shit I've ever done. The song that's coming out tomorrow, when I was writing it, I was listening to a load of Prodigy and Kesha.
Ooh.
Together at last.
Yeah. Do you know what?
Prodigy need a new front person.
Oh,
oh dude, that would be sick.
Kesha fronting Prodigy.
I was trying to think.
I got the poison. I got the remedy.
What would the muck busted name for them be? Like Kesha?
No. Kedigy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Just like a load of shit. Like there's a I feel like everyone says these are the best songs I've ever written. You should go listen to my album. But they fully are. I feel like I've released two EPs. When I got signed, I was just writing pop punky songs. Fucking love it. I had no idea what I wanted to make. Like Life's a Bit is like my most streamed song, and it was like the third song I ever finished. Like Asthma Attack was the first one that I ever finished. So like the first two EPs were me just like trying to figure out what I liked and like experimenting a bit. And like this one, I feel like I found the sound, and the sound is just fucking all over the place. Like the sound is just like ADHD. Like I have no attention span. But yeah, I'm excited. There's a lot of like angry trans songs and a lot of just fun pop punk songs.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Good mixture. Good.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah. I suppose living in the world we live in today, having an album where it is kind of genreless and every song is a bit different is perfect, really, just to keep people interested.
Yeah.
Because they're all just miserable.
Yeah.
Moping songs. People are like, oh, I get it.
The fucking comment sections in like magazine pages that post me, I can't. They're like, I was speaking about this to McFly. I was like, the people that hate the new generation of like alternative music are doing exactly what they were fighting against.
Yeah.
They hated the fact that like they were doing something different. Like they were the weirdos. They didn't want to be told what to do. And now that people are making genreless music, they're like, but where are the blast beats? Like what the, you call this metal? It's like, yes, metal and country at the same time, bitch. Like get over it. Yeah, it's
well, that's yeah, it. Yeah, it's all the people who were punk rockers one day have now become their miserable dad who's like, I'm scared of change.
Yeah, yeah,
whoa,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
can't
yeah,
go doing punk differently.
Yeah, and they view
you
TikTok.
You can do punk whatever you want, you fucking idiot. That's the point.
They view TikTok in a way that's entirely different from how they viewed MySpace. It's the same thing. It's the way that people are getting their music out into the world. It's a social media. Old people find it cringy. Like, you're doing the same thing. But yeah, it's weird how self-awareness there is.
It's the whole world's like that at the moment. But you with all this, you do have a really big tour coming up in February. We're going to be supporting Enter Shikari and Fever 333.
Oof.
Right. So my question to you here is big rooms anyway, yeah, right? But Shikari, known for wildlife shows, yeah, mad production and lights.
Yeah. Laser or two.
Laser or two.
They will have up to four lasers at any one time.
Dude, Shikari. The first sound check of that Underblade tour, they were like showing these. I was like, what the fuck? Literally, I was like, I'm closing my eyes for that set.
This room is too small for this.
So they've got that.
Yeah.
Fever 333. Jay Singh is known for being wild.
Likes to climb.
Likes to jump.
What do you want people to expect from you from that? Just unhinged, more unhinged than those two combined?
I want them. My whole thing going into that tour is like, I want to prove that like they will like my music. Like they will like the new shit as well. Cause like I remember the first reaction when I was announced for the first tour and for this one, people were like, why the fuck is this? Like, who the fuck is this kid? And I'm like, you've not heard the new shit yet. So like, because the rooms are so big, like, I just want to focus on playing real well. Like, I just want the set to run really well, want it to be really good. I want people to enjoy it. So like, I'm not planning any like big lasers, any fire, all that shit. I'm just making sure that like I've got everything down so that I can enjoy myself when I'm on stage. And yeah, like I like playing just like festivals and stuff. Like, people will see me on stage, they'll see that I'm a fucking tiny guy. They think I'm 14, so they think I'm a TikToker because they look because I look 14. And I kind of just want to like prove to people that, I'm not the worst version of whatever they think I am. That sounds so like, but it's more just like, I want to prove that like I deserve people to like my music.
Yeah, 100%. One, if you need a comedy bit, one bit I think would be very funny is just buy a laser pen and just say to him, hey,
take that, Chikari. You spent so much, you maniac.
So we had the budget for this.
Yeah. eBay. £2 Post it to my house.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's going to be, that's going to be wild. I'm sure you're going to have so much fun on that. But,
I'm going to be shitting myself, I swear to God. But I'm excited for it.
Nice, awesome. Well, mate, thank you so much for taking the time and letting us into this dressing room and just fighting off the homeless druggies for us, and just having a really nice chat. Really appreciate this, really appreciate how honest you've been, and yeah, just can't wait for all this new music to come out and people to just go wild with it.
Oh, hell yeah. No, this is fun as hell. It's my favorite podcast. Sorry, just for reference, my boyfriend's standing over there. He has a podcast.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
He's left the room. He's left the room.
Fuck you. anyway, so looking for a new boyfriend.
Any applications? I'm taking them. Or a girlfriend, you know, who knows?
Oh, that's awkward.
What a way to end it.
Yeah.
Sup, man?
Shout out Sci Guys.
Yes! That was the wonderful Noah Fince. Check out his music. He has a single that came out this bloody week. So yes, go and check it out. Check out everything he's done so far. Very, very excited for this album.
Scumbag. I'm not calling you a scumbag. The single's called Scumbag. That's what I'm not having to go at you. I'm not having to go at Noah. I was just saying titles of stuff.
Feels like you're having a go at both me and Noah. So anybody listening to this who's a fan of either Noah, well, that's it really. If anyone of this is a fan of Noah, join my team, the good team, and we will all team up to crush Morgan Richards.
Oh. Is that where you all combined in one giant Megazord like on Power Rangers?
Yes, very much so. Yes, like Voltron. And that's a fucking reference. Nobody will get anyway because nobody's as old as me. So yeah, that's good news.
Oh no, I absolutely loved getting into a room with Noah and just sharing some of these stories. I mean, thank you again for being so honest and open with us. It's mad to see what the state of the world is in and some of the hoops having to jump through and navigate and all that. But he is really being a whole voice of a generation, and I know there's so many people who rely on his music, and I'm just glad he's out there doing this.
Yeah, there was just so many moments that when he was telling me about things that fucking shocked me, like Texas next year, like to be a trans man, they're now going to consider you a drag act. It's mental to me. It's mental to me, but I genuinely hope if you've listened to this and you've stuck with it, that you've taken something away from this today. And yeah, we should be supporting our trans friends as best we can, because as Noah said about the whole toilet thing, like the whole toilet thing about people worried about trans women attacking women and children in toilets, when the statistics of trans women that get beat up in toilets is incredible compared to the other way around. And it's like, people don't know that or see that because they don't fucking want to look out for that, do they? They just want to go for headlines and fucking whatever's the scariest thing. So yeah, this was a fucking very eye-opening and very cool chat. I hope we get to do many, many more like this. But yeah, thank you very much to Noah for being fucking so open, honest, and yeah, carefree. Just didn't give a fuck. Just was like, yeah, let's get this done. Let's have this fucking chat. Like, it was awesome. I loved it very, very, very much. Very important chat, I felt.
I never lost a sense of humor or sarcastic jokes in between all of it either, which is some of my favorite bits. But if you have any other suggestions of a similar guest or people you think would be interesting for us to talk to, please let us know at SapninPod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. On the lighter side of things, we talked about writing with McFly throughout that. You can now go and watch a video of me loving life, dancing along to McFly live on the first day of their UK tour on our Instagram, because one of their crew, James Hill, spotted me in the crowd, sneakily filmed me, and it is half as embarrassing as you think the video would be, but all the other half is so funny, I needed to post it everywhere. So
yeah, check that out. Funnily enough, Stephen Patel messaged me about an hour ago asking, were we likely to go to any other shows? So
I'll go to any show. McFly could play. I'll go anywhere to see McFly.
I did tell him that we are trying to get him and Danny on a podcast together. So, because that would be a good time, I think. So,
it would.
Let's make that happen.
Manifesting into the microphone. Maybe that's a new section where I say that and then we just say things we hope happen.
Oh, yeah. quietly reflect. Like, yeah. Everyone, quiet reflection time with Sean and Morgan. Quiet reflection time with Sean and Morgan's done. Well, that was great. Do you know what? I reckon people are going to say that's our best new section. And I'm going to fucking beat those people up when I see them in public. So fuck you guys for being mean to me.
Hey, we love everyone. We love everyone. And we love our Patreon community at patreon.com/sapnin. Because there's a whole group of people. If you don't know already, just get involved with each other, right? They send each other memes. They're meeting up at tours and festivals and all this. It's just a great laugh. This weekend, on Sunday, they are doing a Halloween-themed Zoom call with each other. So if you want some extra antics, if you've got costumes you need to dress up in and you just want to show them off and make some friends with, patreon.com/sapnin is the best way to be. But you and me were talking about this the other day. A bunch of them went to see Kids in Glass Houses in Cardiff. And for some reason, they did a tops-off party, not all of them, a small group of them, got the tops off and went mad in a pit for Kids in Glass Houses, which isn't the band you associate with pits, I'd say.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I saw the footage and I was like, they haven't got a single song that involves you ripping your top off to do a harder mosh. I get it was fucking boiling in there from the tunes being singed on your face. I get that. But yeah, there was no like mosh anthems where I was like, this, I can see three topless men in this video. I've never seen any of our patrons topless before. So congratulations to Kids in Glass Houses for the comeback. Good luck with writing a new album. And congratulations to all our patrons who made it out to that gig, who made it out after as well, who were alive now. Unbelievable. It's an unbelievable community that we've created somehow just by having silly voices. And the fact that they fucking hang out and love each other and all get on so well is fucking amazing.
It is absolutely ridiculous, but we wouldn't change it for the world. It's probably our biggest highlight of this thing even being a possibility. So come and get involved. patreon.com/sapnin. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean's going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community. Those are the people in the top tier.
Did he just give him a shout out like a garage MC there? Inside! Big shout out going out to our Sapnin community. Inside! Yes, thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Mayumi, Janelle Caston, Paul Hirschfield, Tony Michael, Dilly Califragilistic XP, Alec Grimwood, Kelly Ewing, Scarlett Charlton, Natasha Morris, Inside, Emma Barber, Mitch Perry, Nathan Crawshaw, Nathan White, Amy Louise, Alexandra Pemberton, Kat Besant, Molly Malloy and James Powerbank, Jonathan Gutierrez, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Amy Dawson, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Stephen Aston, Carl Robinson, Kate Puttock, Martina McManus, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, M. Evans Roberts, Craig Harris, Evan, Sean Fines, Vicky, Emily Perry, Adam King of the Goths Parcelow, Kalila Keane, Ollie Amesbury, Josh DeLure about the two thieves who stole a calendar that each got 6 months crisp, Kyle David Smith, Connor Lewins, and I really wish I hadn't started this voice, but I've had to do it to the very end.
That up brilliantly. Fair play. You didn't break. I thought you were going to go at one point, but you stuck with it.
So did I, bet. So did I. I've been inspired. I watched a man do like a 200-mile ultramarathon earlier on YouTube. So, hey, you know, we're all extreme athletes, like, so... If he could do 200 miles walking around, running around in a circle in someone's back garden, I could hold out saying these names in that garage MC voice.
One and the same, basically. I mean, I can't tell.
Inside! I fucking love it. Yes, I!
Oh, commitment to the bit. But yeah, we love everyone who's checked out this episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for Noah and their team for accommodating us and getting
Sorry, Corey,
for breaking your heart. And
didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, that's a bit
sad. Thank you very much to Elliot, his tour manager. He was very, very accommodating to us as well. And obviously, Mark Walker, we'll give a shout out to earlier. Let's get Rory on!
Hey, that's about it for this week. But we'll be back next Friday and every Friday with very special guests, good laughs and some chaos in between. So until then, just have a fucking laugh and be nice to people.
Yeah, don't die. That's it, really.
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.